Amanda McCreed with you, and I'm joined by Cheryl Shaw and Dr. David Tabrett for Pet Chat on 2NURFM. Good morning. Afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Amanda. Hello, Cheryl.
I've been here since this morning, so
time stops when you're in this room.
It does. Cheryl, you've got your brooch on today, and there's a dog looks like it's doing a wee on the grass.
That's it. You got it in one, Amanda. So it's a little girl having a squat on the lawn, and we're going to be talking about looking after your lawn when you own dogs.
Oh, is this gardening talk?
It's almost like Scotty Sharp's here, isn't
it? Oh, okay.
And Judy.
Well, we'll look after the animal side.
That's right.
And then you can talk about what could help that problem on the grass.
That's it. Yeah. Got it in one.
And you want to talk about ticks, David?
Well, look, if we get time, hopefully we get a lot of callers. But yes, there's a very big thing happening with all our ticks and snakes are out at the moment. And I've got a little bit of information about that.
Fantastic.
To share.
Newcastle and the Hunters 2NURFM. This is Pet Chat, and we've got Nick from Charlestown on the line. Hi, Nick. You've got a problem with your cat.
Yes, please. How are you? How are you?
Hello, you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, just. Your cat might have a urinary infection?
Yes.
Okay.
So how old's your cat, Nick?
He turned 5 last Monday, and every now and again, he develops a urine infection, and when he gets the infection, he sometimes doesn't use his toilet tray, but he never poos on the bed, but sometimes he'll wee on the bed if he has an infection. He's an inside cat, but sometimes we let him outside for environmental enrichment if he's eager. Now, there is also something you can get called cat water, and that is supposed to help with their infection.
Yeah, okay. So, male cat, and just how many cats do you have all up?
Just one.
And how many litter trays in the house?
Just one.
Okay. So probably a good idea to get a second litter tray, first of all. Cats can – I always have this rule is that with cats you have one per cat plus one. So for one cat you need two trays. Two cats you need three trays. Okay. So just have them in different parts of the house. It gives him a little bit more option. It takes the pressure off you getting them cleaned quite as quickly, because that can be another reason. So oftentimes we see difficulty determining whether there's a urinary infection or whether it's what we call inappropriate elimination, and that is where the cat will be urinating in places where we don't want it to. And so that's one other distinguishing thing. And the key part here is with male cats, it's quite unusual to have recurrent infections, particularly for that age group, unless there's some other underlying pathology. And the main problem I would be worried about as a pathological reason for him to have a recurrent infection, if that's what's happening, would be that he's actually got some bladder stones or crystals. So that becomes a bit more of an issue around things like dietary management. And going back to what I said about two trays, also stress management can be an issue as well. And that's another reason why cats might start to urinate in unusual places, like you said, you know, around the house, bedding and things like that. They can do that because it's a way for them to show that they're feeling anxious and stressed. So we have to find out whether it's a behavioural problem with this inappropriate elimination or whether it is actually an infection. I'm going to lean towards the idea that it's a behavioural problem, and that's predominantly because we're a male cat, 5 years of age. It's still worthwhile to get checked out with your vet, because obviously if there is a bladder stone, then that's going to cause you all heaps of trouble no matter what. And it's not a case of antibiotics. Usually with male cats, if they do actually develop an infection and there's no other pathology, then we don't usually treat them with antibiotics. So the water that you were talking about is usually, I'm going to think that it's something that's going to promote more urine production, okay? And there is one I remember they have, I think they put acid, it's got an acid in it, like just some lemon juice kind of thing, vitamin C, and that actually helps to acidify the urine, which can dissolve crystals. But the main thing is an extra litter tray, looking out for signs of stress, getting checked out by the vet to make sure there's no signs of bladder stones. Yeah. And Look, there's no harm with, you know, the cat water stuff that you're talking about as a commercial product, but I don't know. It's not something I would run to antibiotics, for instance. I think I'd be going down the behavioural path. And I think if you do those things, then you're more likely to get long-term success rather than having this problem just keep coming up.
Yeah, because it happens every now and again. Like, you'll get it and then you'll go away and then he'll get it again.
Yeah. I wonder if is there a stray cat around the neighbourhood coming past?
I don't think so, but there's a neighbour's cat that sometimes roams, but that's not a stray cat.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, stray, as far as he's concerned, if it's around his territory, and this is the thing with cats, they consider your house and then a house either side and a house behind is all of their territory. And so the problem is we build houses next to each other and each of us have a cat, then suddenly all the cats are like, what are you doing in my space? You know, like, so they start to get stressed out.
And there is a lot of wandering of cats at the moment because is breeding season. So, you know, you may have a stray cat just hanging around, which is, you know, just upsetting your cat a bit as well.
Just upsetting, yeah. Mm. So to reduce that stress, we use a product called Feliway. F-E-L-I-W-A-Y, and it comes as a spray or a diffuser that you plug into a PowerPoint, and it's a calming pheromone. It'll actually help to calm that stress level down. So I'd look into that as well. But as I said, probably worth getting checked with the vet to make sure there's no bladder stones there.
Okay, good luck with that, Nick. And next on the line we have Sue from West Walls End.
Oh. Hello, Sue.
Yes.
Now, you've bought a collie, I understand. You're worried about the digging in the lawn, or is it the bones that you've been feeding?
The bones.
Right.
She's been a digger from day one to the point where it looked like I had a mine cave out there.
Yes.
Tried everything I could find under the sun to try and stop her, like putting her poo back in the holes, which helped a little bit. But then I got on to giving her a really large bone in the yard all the time, so she's got something to gnaw on. But then when I'm leaving to go out, I just give her another smaller bone just to give her a little bit more entertainment, basically, while I'm gone. And I'm worried, am I giving her too many bones?
Probably not. But I think you're heading down the right path, okay, because basically a border collie is a highly intelligent dog that needs lots of stimulation, okay, which is what makes them really great working dogs. But unless you've got a herd of sheep in your backyard, your dog is going to be going, what do I do now? What do I do now? What do I do now? Like they're just constantly looking for that stimulation. And so it is extremely difficult with you know, working dogs, when we have them in our yard, we've got to keep them constantly. We talked about this with Nick's cat just before about enrichment. And that's the term we use that basically fills that need that your dog has to be stimulated, something to do. And so the bones are fine as long as you follow a few rules, simple rules. Okay.
Okay. Yep.
So no cooked bones.
No, definitely not. And I know that one from the past, yes.
No cut bones. Okay.
Cut. Yeah. What do you mean
like
by
that?
Cut?
None that have been sawed in half.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Well, the butcher, like when he takes the bones away, he just sort of gives them, like cuts them into knuckles or into pieces, but it's like a whole piece of the bone itself.
Yeah, but you're better off having the whole bone.
Okay.
Like, I always say make it a dinosaur bone, okay?
Well, that's what these bigger ones were, a dinosaur bone, and he cut them into really large pieces for me because, I mean, she's only a medium-sized dog.
We don't want him to cut them.
Okay, right.
Just say, no, I'll take it that way because there's a couple of reasons why they cut them. One is because they're easy to put in a bag.
Yes.
Two is because they, like you just said, you know, size of dog, look at the bone, size of mouth, but... Mm-hmm. Then the problem is they can actually then chip the bone and that'll crack their teeth and cause problems.
I was worried about that. Yeah.
The other reason they cut the bone, a lot of butchers will do this, is to let the dog get access to the marrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which is fine, although some dogs, it's too fatty for them. Okay. But the problem is then it's a cut bone. And then we get chips of bone, we get fragments, we get sharp bits that cut their throat. They can get them into their stomach. And having been a vet for about 35, 36 years, I'm going to say the number of times I've had to remove shards of bone out of dogs' back ends is just it's never going to be a good result. So I'm happy with raw bones, but they've got to be no cut bones, no cooked bones, and really big. So if the bone disappears, you can look at your dog and go, oh, there it is, because it's poking out either side of the dog, right? Like it's got it. That's why we go for the big bones.
Okay.
And you're correct though. That's got to be the thing that keeps her occupied.
Ever since I've started it, there's been no holes basically, which has been excellent. I'm finally getting grass, but
that's good.
And I noticed when I gave her the really big bone, which I thought was going to be too big for her, she was actually not biting it. She was more grinding.
Yeah, that's right. That's what happens. Yeah.
That's a better way.
Yeah. And there's all those little bits of sinew and things on it. And they will just spend hours on that. Oh, mm-hmm. The other thing, just before we let you go, the other thing is sometimes the dogs will go and bury them.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a bit of a natural instinct. The problem is what they're doing is they probably want them to tenderise a bit. The problem is our dogs, we then the next day give them something else to do, the next day something else to do, the next day something else to do, and then about 5 days later they go, oh, hang on, I've got a bone buried down there. And they go and dig it up and now it's got infection all over it and they get food poisoning.
That's what I was worried about, because she has done that a couple of times with them. But I noticed the bigger the bone, well, naturally she can't pick it up and take it anywhere. It's too heavy. So it's just been lying in the yard, and she took her about a week to gnaw it down.
Yeah, make sure you don't leave it out too long in hot weather, sunny weather, because it will cure the bone.
Yeah.
And then it turns into a cooked bone.
Right. Okay, then.
Okay. Right. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Best wishes. See you soon.
Thanks, Sue. All the best with it. From Terralba. Hi, Kay. You've got a cat that's dirtying around the house.
Yes. She's a bit over 8 years old. We've had her since she was born. She was. We rescued her from the mother. She kept trying to drown her in a puddle, so we've always hand-reared her. But the last 2 weeks, she's dirtying around the house. She's still using her kitty litter. She's an inside cat. But she's also dirtying around the house. I was wondering if there was a reason.
That's an interesting scenario from my end, at least. I mean, I feel sorry for you because that can be quite messy with cats, isn't it? And
Yeah,
we've had a little bit of a chat today with an earlier caller, Nick, about her cat and use of litter trays. So I'd reiterate what I was saying there, that we want to make sure we've got one tray per cat plus one. But this is an older cat that has been in the same household for that many years, and then this is a recent development.
It's only started 2 weeks.
Yeah. And usually cats are pretty good with their when they defecate. Like when we talk about litter tray, you know, misuse, I'm going to say, where they're going elsewhere. If it's a stress-related thing, as we were discussing earlier, it's often urination, okay? Mm. But they almost always will return to a litter tray to poo. So then that makes me think that either probably a couple of things come to mind that are basically medical problems. So one is it could be diarrhea type of concerns, like the gut is more active would be one thing. The other thing is they may not be able to stand in the tray in proper posture. And sometimes I've seen that with cats with arthritis, but where they just find it too uncomfortable to be in the tray. The other thing would be a kind of dementia. I don't know, 8-year-old cat, and it's only the last 2 weeks. Are there any other symptoms that she's got?
No, she seems fine, like she's solid. It's not runny. Like the first time when she did it, I thought, oh, maybe, you know,
it was runny, but it wasn't. And so I just cleaned it up, didn't think much of it. But yeah, then he's done it about four times since, and in different spots.
One thing,
not always in the same spot.
Yeah, yeah. One thing I'd like to ask, Kay, have you changed the litter substance that you use, like the whether it's you know, like crystals or paper, or have you changed?
No,
that?
We've always bought the same brand ever since she was little, and okay, she's always been. And we're really rigorous about cleaning it out for her.
Yeah.
Now it is a kitty litter tray with a lid on it.
Yeah.
I just, as you said, maybe arthritis, maybe she's not, but she's still using it, which
yes, okay,
confused me more than anything.
Just recently there was a study whether cats do prefer a lidded yes, tray or not, and they've actually come to the conclusion that they do prefer it not to be lidded, so that they can escape quickly if they need to, and that they can stretch as they need to as well on the tray.
Okay.
Mm.
Well, that might be one of the issues. I'd certainly try some changes around the tray. The fact that it's not diarrhea, yeah, mm. That's an interesting one. I think I would, if I was had you in front of me in a consult room, I'd be spending a good half hour deep diving into the history, and certainly a careful examination, just to make sure, like those questions around arthritis, for instance, what are the hips like? Because we do see arthritis in cats for a whole variety of reasons, and that could be an issue. But otherwise, I'd certainly go back and try some different combinations with the tray, lid on, lid off, and perhaps even a change of litter.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah, and Feliway is another good idea as well. Anytime we get cats with toileting problems, that you should have some Feliway spray, which helps to calm them down. So that's always a good as a kind of supplementary treatment.
Okay, what was that, sorry?
Feliway, F-E-L-I-W-A-Y. So it's a calming pheromone, and it's in a liquid, so you can spray it, or it comes as a diffuser that you put into a PowerPoint in the same room.
Yep.
So
all right,
try those things.
I might try the lid off and on, although
yeah.
I can't have it doing this. It's just getting beyond
the exactly. No. Exactly.
And my partner loves her dearly, so, I'm going to have to do something about it. So, all right,
no
worries. I'll try a few options and see how I go.
Yeah, and give us a call back in a month or so and let us know how things are going.
Okay, good luck with that, Kay. All right, it must be cat day today, because
it is.
Next on the line, we've got Tracy from Raymond Terrace. Tracy, you've got two cats, 10 and 11, and they're eating too quickly, sometimes throwing up and asking for food all the time.
Well, yeah, I have diffused the incident with the throwing up and eating quickly. I have bought a new cat plate which has little squares on it, and I mush the food into that. They get fed twice a day. Generally, it's around, or probably just under half a can each. Well, two big spoonfuls, dessert spoons. However, now recently, the last 6 months or so, they're thinking that, I could feed them. They get, like I said, twice a day, but I could feed them. And then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, my daughter will walk in the room and she'll run right around her feet to the fridge and straight to their food, like that, and meowing like they've not been fed for days.
Mm. And you said they're both doing it.
They're both doing it, absolutely. And they're getting on the bench now, and they've never really done that. Well, not while we've been around or things like that. They obviously get into lots of things when you're not at home and you're at work. But, yeah, I don't know how to fix this problem. Like, they just constantly think that they need to be fed.
Right.
I can make a sandwich in the kitchen, and they're starting to like jump up and start to claw at my legs, even if they got fed like 10 minutes ago.
Hungry hippos.
Well,
absolutely. It's non-stop, and it's getting to the point where they're starting to break my skin and draw blood.
Oh, okay. They're really, really hassling you about this. A lot of dogs will be like this too, but the reason I'm hesitant here is because the two of them are doing it. And so I'm just wondering if there's behavioural influence. Now, it could be that one of them, and I'm cautious to suggest this, but the age group is right, and the constantly hungry makes me think about some metabolic problems. So I'm not going to say they've both got this, but I'd certainly be curious in case one of them has a problem and then the other one is just mimicking or going along. Like, I mean, if you're going to get food, then I'm going to ask for food as well.
Whether they are together or whether, like, because sometimes, like, the younger one, Ruby, she'll be outside, but she'll go straight to the door if she thinks that the fridge is getting opened.
Yeah.
And want to come in. But whether or not her sister is around, or like, because, like I said, they're sisters, and if the other one is running around your feet, then the other one will run around your feet. But
and is this is just a recent development?
Yeah, it's probably about 6 months, and I just thought maybe it's their age or they're not getting fed enough, but they're getting fed. It's been the same since I've had them both, like, since babies. Got one when she was, 8 weeks old, and then a year later I got the other one, and they are, you know, from the same family.
Your feeding habits haven't really changed. It's their behaviour that has changed. Yeah,
they just constantly want to be fed.
Yeah. Constantly being hungry makes me think metabolic problems.
Okay.
And so in older cats, I'm thinking hyperthyroidism is my main concern, and that's where the thyroid gland, which sits in the neck and produces hormones that actually kind of act like a old carburetor. People don't know what carburetors are these days.
Oh, I do, yeah.
You know, you could pull the choke out and the carburetor runs a bit stronger. So basically they just want more and more and more, and they just can't get enough, and that's because they could have an overactive thyroid. So it's worth getting checked out for that reason. There are a couple of other metabolic problems that we sometimes see that increase hunger, but they are usually a bit more affected by other signs in that case. And I'm thinking of things like diabetes, for instance, where you would really, the predominant thing wouldn't be their hunger. The predominant thing would be drinking and urinating a lot.
Yeah.
So going with the hunger thing, then that makes me wonder about hyperthyroidism. Cats. Now, in a dog, I would also wonder about Cushing syndrome. But in cats, they can get Cushing syndrome, which is another hormonal disorder. But in cats, it's actually, they can get a thing called, I can't remember the kind of lay term now, but it's excess growth hormone produced by the pituitary gland. And so sometimes that can also, it's a bit rarer. So either way, I think I would be getting probably the older one checked first with a blood test to see what his thyroid's doing.
All right, then.
Yeah.
I appreciate that very much, and I'll see Dr. Titmarsh about that. I really appreciate your help.
No worries. All right, thanks, Tracy.
Thanks, Tracy. Good luck. All right, we finally got a dog question. It's usually dogs all the time, and today's been cats. Carol from Muswellbrook, you've got a male mini dachshund, 12 months old, peeing on furniture and people and feet.
Anywhere he likes.
Right. How long have you had this little terror?
Probably since he was about 7 weeks.
Okay. So, and when did this behaviour start?
It pretty much started when he was young, but it got worse recently. In the last, like, 6 or 8 weeks, he started to now include furniture as one of his key spots.
So basically he's had this behaviour that has been kind of there, but then it's just he's starting to take a few more liberties with treating your house like a toilet.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So it goes way back to that first couple of weeks. And it's hard to toilet train puppies, particularly at that age. I found with my dogs it was about, they really didn't follow the directions until they were at least 3 months of age. But then it was all sorted by about 5 months of age. And, you know, that's probably a bit late. But I had two, and I've now been told 100,000 times you should never get two dogs at once. Thank you, Cheryl Shaw. But But it is repetitive behaviour, discipline around setting up where your dog can go to the toilet. So all of this other stuff that's happening now, there's no boundary for him. He's just saying, well, oh, this is my house. What are, you know, I'll just go wherever I like. But correct. It's not malicious. It's just, it's, you know, he's allowed to do it. So we're just going to have to return to the lessons that we would be doing for a younger dog. And that means first thing in the morning, first thing at night, they go out to toilet, all right? Yep. And you praise them and praise them and praise them when they go. And after every meal, and if you can take them for walks as often as possible on lead and they toilet for you when they're on the walk, again, praise, food treats even, but just praise is simple enough. And yep. It just takes a bit longer because he's kind of already got a habit. He'll be like, yeah, but, you know, there's always the furniture. But we just want to get him into that habit. And really, when I say we're getting him into the habit, we're actually getting you into the habit of setting up his routine.
Okay, yeah. Last thing at night, we do take him to the toilet, and first thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning, yeah. Toilet. After every meal.
Yeah, we do that. And I had heard, like, take the water off him overnight so he's not drinking all night.
I use a toilet pad for the dogs where we've got those absorbable pads and some of the fake grass stuff. It works for me. Some people don't like it. So, you know, there's that option. But ultimately, it just takes a bit longer. It's going to take a good couple of months to get this under control.
Carol, is it de-sexed?
No.
Okay. No. So
that might help.
For me, that would be one of the indicators that he is urinating on so many things because he's marking his territory because he's an entire male.
Okay.
Yes. De-sexing.
De-sexed female, but much older.
Yeah. No, it definitely would be increasing his territory marking.
Yep. Yeah, good pick up there, Cheryl. Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, because we've even noticed, like, if someone turns up at the door, we will run out and urinate all over their feet, and this will be constantly until, you know, everyone's shoes are wet, and then he'll go back inside.
Yeah, that's a slightly different thing. That's going to be associated with nerve control and just the level of excitement. But as he gets better in your training and your discipline, he won't be running out at everybody, and so he won't be urinating over everybody's feet. So we've just got to go back to the basics for your little one, sorry, and de-sexing, okay. Absolutely.
Good luck with that, Carol. All the best. And we're going to look at Pet of the Week. We've got a cat called Winter.
Winter with a Y.
Winter with a Y.
I know. And you know what? If you adopt Winter, you can stay at home and say Winter is coming.
Game of Thrones.
I had to get that in there.
Dad joke.
Well, Winter is a beautiful all-black short-haired girl looking for her forever home, or forever home. Mm. full of energy and affection, always ready for action, whether it's chasing after toys, exploring new corners of the house, or engaging in a game of hide-and-seek. There you go. What else?
Oh, and she's good with people and has been with other cats. Not a lot of dog interaction, but if you're just on your own and or got another cat, it'd be worth having a look at the webpage, 2NURFM, and having a look at Winter, and perhaps Winter's going to find a home in summer.
Yeah.
Or spring. Spring, I should say. Spring. We don't want to wait another 8 weeks. Spring.
Well, Winter is 16 months old, so there you go.
All right.
Next we've got Barney. Barney's cute. Let's have a look. Barney's a 8-week-old mastiff.
Cross.
Yes. There you go. I'm not a dog person. So
Barney's going to be a large, large dog, right? You've got to be used to having a large dog, you know. Have you got the yard? Have you got the time to make sure they get enough exercise? The good thing about Barney, though, is that he'd probably get along all right with other dogs. They've had him with other dogs. And he's a bit young yet, so he's not de-sexed. So he has his vaccinations up to date. but he needs to be adopted locally so that he can return to get de-sexed in a couple of months, and then you'll have a friend for life.
Oh, sounds beautiful.
But he's also got a sister that's up for adoption as well.
Oh, I wonder why she got left off the list.
Oh, no, she's there, Billy.
Oh, there you go. Oh, well, if you want to check that out, 2NURFM.com.au is the place to go, and just click on the Pet Chat link and you'll find all the details. Now, we haven't got a lot of time, probably 2 minutes and 40 seconds, so if you'd like to talk about ticks, David.
Oh, look, it's this time of the year, and I know I keep going on about this all the time. Just before I popped over today to the studio, I hopped into our hospital and had a look around, and it was a bit sad to see quite a few patients, dogs that have had tick poisoning and that are in critical conditions, but they're getting expert care, and, you know, we're looking after them. But I was showing you guys some photos of the levels of care they're getting. And so these are pretty severely affected tick patients. And this happened all over the weekend, our long weekend. It was a very hot weekend. Now, the interesting thing about that kind of weather event is that this wet weather that we're getting now, people go, oh, it's not as hot, so less ticks. No, 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 no. This is tick breeding heaven. This wet 13, 15 degrees is tick breeding season, and they are just going to explode in the next week. So all of the patients, I asked the nurses, I said, of all these patients in hospital, how many of them were on preventatives? And they said none of them.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. The message is get tick prevention into your pets, both dogs and cats. Check them every day. Nowadays we've got, from preventative point of view, obviously, you know, we've always relied upon rinses, baths, collars, things like that, but they have a pretty high failure rate, I have to say. And nowadays we're using these newer products. They've been around for quite a while now, and the number of tick patients we see has dropped dramatically, but only if you actually use them.
That's right.
So
the compliance.
Yeah. The tick preventative that's sitting in the cupboard isn't helping your pet. And so there's a, you know, monthly, the NexGard, the Brevecto, there's the 3-monthly, but there's also a Brevecto annual injection.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can go see your vet, get that treatment. Obviously, it's going to cost a bit more than you might otherwise plan for, but the thing is, it's a hell of a lot cheaper than tick treatment if they get tick poisoning and they need to be in hospital, you know, on a drip, on a ventilator. Sorry, ventilator. They're getting
oxygen. You need to be on a ventilator?
I'm losing my voice. On oxygen therapy, all of those things. We want to avoid all that. Okay.
Well, we are out of time. Sue from West Walls End, you've won the pet food voucher, and Cheryl Shaw will have to get to your topic next week.
Sounds like a plan.
This is 2NURFM.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.